I think this is more teaching than it is anything. How many are paying any attention to the political situation going on in the country? On, fess up, fess up. We're going through a time right now that has even got the political experts scratching their head. Those who have been politicians and politicians all their life are, or for the majority of their whatever, are falling or are finding themselves way behind an individual whose loud and boisterous manner has touched people all over this country. And I'm talking about Donald Trump. I watched him the other day as he arrived in Iowa. They broke in to show him landing in his helicopter. I listened to his words that he is willing to spend $1 billion of his own money to become the President of the United States. With everything that is in me, I pray that he totally and completely fail. There's a reason for it. Because of the pride and the insolence was demonstrated that day at that fair. And somebody just said it. Pride goes before the fall. We've had enough failure in this country. I'm kind of at a loss right now. I kind of feel like I'm walking in a place where we've lost concepts that Jesus not only taught us, He demonstrated to us. I watched a church group the other day that was being led by an individual who the last word that I think has ever struck his lips in maybe 10 or 15 years is the word humility. If Jesus taught us anything, if He wanted us to learn anything, it's humility. And it's at that point where the majority of us, and maybe me as the first on the totem pole, those are the places that I have the most problem. Is to be humble when the requirement is to be humble. There's a very short step between false humility and humiliation. If we become humble to show people how humble we are, we're this far away from humiliation. False humility has a very, very close cousin. It's called pride. Very close. False humility and pride. F.B. Meyer, who was a religious leader back in the 19th century wrote a little example of humility. I want to read it to you. And you, I know you're going to listen because I had to look all morning long. I knew it was out there somewhere. I just had to find it. He said, "I used to think that God's gifts were on shelves, one above the other. And that the taller we grow in Christian character, the more easily we could reach them. I find now that God's gifts are on shelves, one beneath the other. And that it's not a question of growing taller, but of stooping lower. And that we have to go down, always down, to get His best gifts." This week, I read again in the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, where the dynamics of this Last Supper were incredible. The emotion in that Last Supper is incredible. Jesus is talking about one betraying Him. "Lord, is it me? Is it me? Lord, I'll never betray You. Even if You die, I'm going with You." "Dude, before this rooster crows twice, You will have denied Me three times." And in this same group of people, in this same room, in this same emotion-packed time in the life of Christ, they begin arguing about who is going to be the greatest. How human beings can do this is beyond me, but I've seen it in my own lifetime. How people can come from some dastardly thought about betraying Christ and switch right over to, well, who's going to be the greatest? We know there's going to be one that's an idiot, but who's going to be the greatest? And you can see, you've been around in situations like this where it begins to get. Remember how I used to choose teams? This is how we used to choose teams to play baseball. When I was a kid, they'd throw a bat up in the air and you'd catch the bat and the other captain, he'd put his hands on it and then you'd go like this till you got to the top of the bat, and that's, you were the top dog then, so you got the first choice. How many of you have ever been in that situation when you hear men and women trying to lay out the pattern of why they should get the job and not somebody else? If you've never done job interviews, you need to do one just because you learn the old adage, "He who tooteth his own horn, it will be tooted." And that's what's going on in this room. And they're caught up in this "who is the greatest" kind of attitude. And suddenly Jesus is gone, and then He comes back into the room, and He's got a towel girt around Him, and He's carrying a pan of water. And these men who were arguing, and I think women were there too, but these people who are arguing about who's the greatest, He begins to wash their feet and dry them with the towel. And He makes this statement when it's done. He said, "Now you don't know what I've done." We still don't realize what He's done. Because it's just too difficult at times. We come to the elevator door and we're looking for a place to get to Jesus because he's way up there. So we hit the button to take us to where Jesus is and we look and the arrow's pointing down. That doesn't fit my psychology. But that's exactly what He's telling us. I get off my high horse. I submit to Him where He is. And when I come to that place, If I ever get to that place, perhaps I'll understand his words. He that would be greatest among you must first be servant. If you have your Bibles, and open them to the book of Philippians, if you will. Paul writes to this church. Chapter 2, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy of being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem others better than... Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Holy cow. Holy cow. You mean if I'm looking for some kind of consolation or peace in Jesus Christ? If I'm to get any comfort out of this love that He has for me? If I am to be walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit? If there's to be any affection, if there's to be any mercy at all. Let each esteem others better than himself. Something about the early church. We spoke in Sunday school this morning that church in its time of, in its very nascent period, is just after being born on Pentecost. It got to the place that says that the people outside the church were in fear of them. Part of the reason I believe that they were in fear of them is because they had never ever seen human beings act like this toward one another. That would be scary. If the Baptists got a hold of the Methodists, they got a hold of the Presbyterians, they got a hold of the Lutherans. I haven't said Church of God yet because we're still thinking, let them get a hold, we'll lead the march. If we would ever get to that place where we would be willing to say to each other across denominational lines that the love of Jesus Christ is going to bring the walls down. Our commonality in the love of Jesus Christ is what's going to bring the walls down. Let me be a servant to you. What can I do for you? He goes on to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if I believe that this is the Word of God, and I absolutely believe that this is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is saying something to you and to me today. This is how Jesus thought. Here's what he thought about. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Slave is a good word you could put in there. And coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the very point of death, even the death of the cross. We're talking about God never beginning and never ending. We're talking about a triune God. Not three gods, one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Their love for one another, their submission to one another, their doing for one another is so great that people, and we look at it and they say, how can three personalities be one person? I have no idea. I got no idea. I wished I could explain the Trinity. If I could explain the Trinity to you, it'd be pretty cool. I can't. But I do know there's something that is so close, that's so part of one, but yet loving one another. But he took that part of being God, and this is literally what it means. He literally emptied out himself. There is a group, and I consider myself to be part of that group. So what Paul is talking about here, that Christ, in coming to this earth, emptied part of himself to come and be like us. That's why he can always be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That's why he was tempted like in every way, just like us, but he didn't sin. If he came as God, and that second part of that Trinity, and he is God with all the power of God and everything else, then he has no right to tell me, be holy like I'm holy. Because I got the right to say to him, impossible, you're God. But he came like us. He emptied himself. They call it the kenosis of Christ. Big arguments. Theologians go nuts over this stuff. They love it. What is important to understand in here is have this same kind of mind that Jesus has. Even though he's God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made of himself. He made himself to have no reputation. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That person should never be teaching. I can teach so much, but that person couldn't teach their way out of a brown paper bag. Dude, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Give me that microphone and let him go sit down. No, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I sat in Fairbanks Church of God one time, listened to Pastor Joe preach. And Pastor Joe, he always preached a different message with a different title, but it ended up in the same place every single Sunday. About halfway through, it would sag into this thing that you heard every Sunday. I sat in the right hand part of, we were downstairs in the basement because our upstairs had been condemned. And I sat down in the basement on the right side and I said, it's going back right where, right, I've heard this. Not once, not twice, a bunch of times. And I'll tell you what, I heard the voice of God hit my heart. And He spoke really loud to me. This is my servant preaching my word. And there was a part on the inside of me that sat up straight and said, what are you saying, God? And Joe Perez laid it right on the line. After that, it all changed. My whole relationship with the Sunday morning sermon totally, completely changed. I don't like his teaching. I don't like that teaching. I sent money to this one over here because I like his teaching better than I like her teaching. So I sent my money over there. I send my money there because when I send my money there, when pretty soon I get two books back and a picture of Jesus Christ. The one I close my eyes, I look at the stare at the picture, and when I close my eyes, His face is right there and His eyes are open. They're getting my money. Not that Yehu down in the corner of the street down there. They're big. They've got big ministry. They're reaching out to the entire world. Okay. Maybe it'd be good if I humbled myself enough to say the 5, the 10, the 15 people that I call my church family, they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I am so honored because they allowed me to be a part of that group and they've taken me in as a brother and sister. Oh, we're not having crusades that are bringing 50,000 people in. Thank God for that. But we're 15 people trying to live like Jesus wants us to live. Let this mind be in you. How far do you humble yourself? I mean, isn't there some place where I get to stand up for my own rights? No. 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 And if you missed it, no. He came as our example. He came to show us the Father. He came to show us how we should act before the Father. He came to show us how we should act towards one another. What rights do I have? None. How can you say that? He made me an individual, by golly. He made me, I've got a voice. Hallelujah, God baptized me and made me a Republican. Thank you, Jesus. I had a voice. Let's read something here. Let's go back. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God. How many gods do we have in here? Okay. How many at some time in the past have said, we've got at least two gods and I'm one of them? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. How low did Jesus get? It's in the next 6 words. Taking the form of a bond servant. Bond servant is in the Greek word here for bond servant is the word for slave. Slave. Well, you're talking about Jesus now. You better watch where you're at. I never see Jesus do anything for himself. It was always for others. Foxes have dens and birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He don't have a home. Had to borrow a boat. He just walked around making himself a slave to everyone else. Come with me to do this. Come with me to do that. My child, my servant, my this, my that. And Jesus just walks about and walks right alongside of him. I'm going to go do what you need to want done. Why? Because I put aside my godness and now I'm a bond servant. How big would the Christian church on this earth be if we ever found out the secret of being a slave to one another?
Hallelujah.
How big would this church be? How big of an impact would there be? If we would simply find the place of humility. Turn with me back to 1 Peter. Don't blame me for this. Jesse preached my sermon last night in the last 10 minutes of his. So instead of calling him and telling him to stay home, I just thought I got to dig up something. No, God dug something out of me last night. I get amazed. I mean, we're putting our faith. We're trying to decide who's the guy. Who's the guy that's going to take us out of all this stuff that we're in? Who is he? Is the young guy that talks really, really good? Or is it the guy that's got $10 billion and he don't care about nothing? Is it the woman? Who is the person that's going to take us out of all this? Not one of them. Not one of them will take us from where we are. There is one person in all of the universe that can remove us from the depths that we have fallen to and bring us to a place where we are once more recognized as God-fearing people. That's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and nobody else. God help us. So don't expect no voters' guides. We're all going to write in Jesus. Yeah. First Peter chapter 5. Starting at verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. That doesn't pertain to me anymore because I've passed over. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. I want to stop again and just reiterate this point. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us right here at 1140 I Street in Salida, Colorado. It's not to somebody else. He is writing to us right now. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. But that doesn't pertain to me. That's for you. That's not for me. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I never have to be recognized by the Rocky Mountain Region Church of God. It does not matter if you are recognized by Church of God International. It doesn't matter to be recognized by the Southern Baptist Convention. It doesn't matter to be recognized by any organization that you can think of that's way high up there. What matters is this. God will exalt you in due time. That is the one that we need to seek out. That's the one we need to search out and say, God, are you the one that's happy with my performance? We talked about it last night. It's not people at the door saying, boy, that was a good sermon. It's the heart within you that's truly above all things asking the question, but did it please God? Was it something that made Him happy?
Right. Amen.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I want you to look at this. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, comma, that He may exalt you in due time, comma, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. In my Bible that I'm reading right now, there is not a period. There's commas. It is one persistent thought going through. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Have you ever heard that verse before? Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. How many have heard that verse? Anybody in here heard that verse? Have you ever heard that verse tied in with the humility part of it? We get into that kind of buffet style word. The humbling part, that's the part where the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts are. And that stuff they make with carrots and beans and peas and all that stuff. God never meant for vegetables to be mixed like that. He never meant it. But we get into buffet kind of stuff, don't we? Casting all my cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. Amen. Yes. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. The due time is another sermon. It's another question. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I love the Phillips translation of that. It says, casting the total weight of your anxiety upon Him, for you are His personal concern. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you know who he may devour? He's looking for those. The ones that he's going to be looking to devour are the ones that are forgetting about the part, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. We've seen time and after time after time, men who get so exalted in their position, they are so lifted up in the place that they are in their Christianity and in their ministry, and their ministries are ministering to thousands, and you've got to send me. God's told me, the Holy Spirit's told me that there are 499 people out there that are going to send $1,000, and you're one of them. And we've seen them time and again fall. People who had gold faucetry in their bathrooms. People who have 40-foot Class A mobile homes for their dogs to ride in so they're air-conditioned. We've lost something, a sense of humility. We've allowed the devil to plant a seed within us that we are more than what we are. Now, I may not have all the money in the world. I may not even have a little bit of all the money in the world. But I'm living. I don't live from paycheck to paycheck. I have like an extra week on there now, because God's blessed me. I'm nothing to be lifted up. The sign on the door out there says Pastor Chuck Surface. It could take one stop of the heart, and somebody would be scratching at the Pastor Chuck Surface, and they'd be putting Pastor with a little temporary sign in there till they get a new one. But I am a blood-bought, blood-washed child of the Most High God. I serve a Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And that Savior, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is telling me, love one another. If you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to reach the high points in God, you be a servant.
Yes, sir.
I have two heroes of the faith. And one of them is Mother Teresa. There is a whole lot of difference between Mother Teresa and some of the people who are standing in the place of being Christian spokesmen today. There's a whole big, big difference. Spent her entire life in the slums of India. Her entire life. She couldn't be lifted up when they wanted to be, when they wanted to lift her up. The story's told of her coming to New York. She went to the United Nations and she told them, you don't want your babies? Don't kill them. Bring them to me. I'll take care of them. Bill Clinton almost had a chicken when Hillary, when she said that. They were infuriated that was allowed to be said. A big dinner was planned. A big, big, big fundraiser for the Sisters of Charity, I think, is who the organization with their little blue uniforms and stuff. They had a big old dinner. And when you went to this dinner, it cost you. It was big, big money. And everybody got sat at their tables and they had their drinks and they had their wine, and then they wanted to serve it, and no Mother Teresa. So the person in charge of the event, he goes back to Mother Teresa's people and talks to them. See, where's Mother Teresa? She'll be here shortly. Well, if you can contact her, tell her to please come, because the food has been specially prepared for tonight, and we're concerned that the food's not going to be any good. 45 minutes later, she comes in. Food's all dried up. It's not, you know what happens to chicken at a big dinner when they leave it sit all day long. They come in and the person who was there said, Mother Teresa, do you know who these people are in this room? Do you know what these people can do for you? They want to pour money into your ministry. They want to give you the means by where you can do more ministry. Where were you? She says, I was at the hospital. I was holding a man who was dying of AIDS, so he would not die alone. Babalooey, you put that up against somebody who wants $65 million for a new jet so he can have the biggest jet of all the evangelists in the country. That don't fit. And God's going to talk about that one of these days. There's no humility there. I need to put an end to this. It's just really been, it's been heavy. Went home last night and I gave the words that I hate saying to my wife more than anything. I sat down, you know, just come off of this service that we just came through, and I said, she said, how did it go? And I said, boy, it was wonderful. And I says, I ain't got a thing to preach about tomorrow. And God begins dealing with me about this thing. When you watch Him on TV, and when you see Jesus, when you hear what they say, and you hear what Jesus says, when you see the picture of the suits and the lights and all that stuff, and you see Jesus, I'm having a big disconnect in my mind. It's because we've lost. We talked last week about losing our first love. If we're going to repent and do our works over again and come back to our first love, it's got to be with humble spirits. We don't come back on our terms. I cannot come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm all yours, if. I'm all yours, if. If I can be the pastor, if I can be the evangelist, if I can be the Sunday school superintendent, if I can be the Sunday school teacher, if I can be this, if I can be that. No. Jesus, I'm coming back just to be like You are. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up in due time. Father, I got no more to say. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to do now what only You can do. That You would come. And if we're willing to listen to what You say, that You are willing with a gentle, loving hand put us back in the place where we need to be. Not looking after ourselves, but focusing on the good of others. Not blowing our own horn. No more pick me, but to rejoice when others are lifted up and when they're blessed. To truly be grateful when somebody receives from you something you wanted to give them, and not to question why you don't do it for me. To realize that what we have is You. And that's more than anything in this entire world. Give me the mind of Christ. Let me be as He was, willing to lower myself to the very lowest place there was. Father, You know me, and You know it'll be a fight. That at some place in time, I'm going to buck. But Lord, in Your goodness and in Your mercy and in Your grace, continue to steer me to that place. Father, we are Your church. This is Your people. We live in a world that's dying to see somebody that looks like Jesus. They're dying to see what a real live Christian looks like. Father, I pray that today You make us to be that what they are looking for. That You would give us validation in this world as we become more like You. Whatever it is, Lord, that we seek to please, Lord, would You just do away with that? Whatever it is that we hope we can be for somebody else, turn our hearts and give us that desire to be for You. Let us have the mind of Christ in everything. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.